place was crowded, of course, but we walked around to see the big vats where chocolate, they were stirring the chocolate, and made us so hungry that we went over to the serving place then and found tables and looked at the menu. And I want to read a couple of the concoctions that we were able to order. Golden Gate Banana Split, the longest span of goodness in town. Chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla ice cream topped with chocolate, strawberry, and pineapple syrup. The banana bridge rises above the whipped cream fog. Open up that golden gate. And that was what you get for the small price of $1.45. Can you imagine one person eating all that? Another one was Twin Peaks, a famous San Francisco landmark. Twin Peaks of chocolate and vanilla ice cream topped with marshmallow and chocolate syrup and hidden under a blanket of whipped cream fog. Dig in and take a peek. And they had huge mugs of hot chocolate for 50 cents a mug. We didn't have any of that. And sodas. Of course, you could buy candy bars, many kinds. So that was a delightful time we spent in there. Then they had a gift shop connected with that. So, of course, we toured that and bought a few little things. So back to the apartment. The next day was the 10th of July. Gail and Jim both had to go to work. And Dump went to the laundromat. And Betty and Gary went to the grocery store. When they came back, Betty made spaghetti for that evening. And then we went over to the Golden Gate Park, which was just across the street, the entrance. And we toured the science building there, which is quite a fabulous place and big. And many interesting things. That evening, we toured the city. Jim drove and showed us some of the most interesting things around town. And one place which was quite impressive was the Coit Tower. I think it's the highest place in the city. You can see all over the city from there. From there, we went to another high spot. It was a winding, narrow road. We thought we were never going to make it to the top. And many cars on the road, too. I don't remember the name of that. But it was getting dusk by then, and the lights were all on the city, and it was surely a beautiful sight. Next day was the Wednesday the 11th, and it was a little cooler. We went over to Golden Gate Park and spent a good bit of time there. Betty and I took the bus tour all around the park, and we could see so much more that way. The flower gardens are just gorgeous. They were all over the park. And then they have a pen of buffalo there, and I thought I'd get a good picture of that buffalo and snap the camera, and then realized I had no film in the camera. So I didn't get a picture of the buffalo. We went to the Andrew Weiss show. That was very interesting. I've always liked his paintings. And there was a tour guide that was explaining each picture, why he drew it, when, and all that. That was interesting. Then Betty and I went to the Japanese Tea Garden and had tea and fortune cookies. That was a beautiful place. Waterfalls and plants and picturesque bridges. It was really beautiful. That was a lot of fun. Then in the evening, Hank came over and we went sightseeing again. This time we went down to the shore and went to by the Presidio and then back to Ghirardelli's Square again. That's kind of a hard place to stay away from. It's Sundays again. Next day, the 12th, I have a notation that we rested most of the day. At least I did, I guess. I crocheted an edge on the afghan that Gail had made. And Don Gary went downtown, as they called it, downtown San Francisco. And Betty went shopping some of the stores near there for something for Gail's birthday. And then in the evening, Gail and Betty and I went to Chinatown, and that was an interesting place. Lots of shops. Well, that's about all it was, one shop after another, of course. And we did go into, they had a wax museum there. We went through that. And, of course, we bought little souvenirs in the shops. Had a lot of fun looking at everything. And Duncan, Hank, and Gary had gone downtown again. I don't know where they went downtown. They never told us. Next day was Friday the 13th. Beautiful day and warmer. We left at 10:45 in the morning for the bus for the ferry to Sausalito. Jim took the day off and took us to the wharf, and then Gail met us there. She just worked a half day. And all of us went but Dunk. He was off looking at some real estate somewhere. At the ferry station, there was a street fair just right out on the pavement. They had young folks were painting pictures and displaying pottery and all kinds of handmade articles right there, and you could buy them there, anything you wanted. The ferry left at 12:15, and that was a real fun ride. We stood on the deck most of the time. It was real windy and cold, but it was a lot of fun watching the big cargo ships go by, and we passed Alcatraz, not too close, but we could see a couple men working with hoe. It looked like they were working in a garden. I imagine there were flowers, gardens, flower gardens around, and I imagine that's what they were doing. Later on, that Alcatraz was opened up as a place to visit on a tour to sightsee, and but it wasn't open then yet when we were there. We arrived in Sausalito about 10 to 1, and ate at the Sausalito Inn. They had real good food. First thing Gail and Jim had was cheesecake. I think they had 2 or 3 pieces before they got their rest of their meal. But we had a good lunch there. And then we went over to the shops, which were on the side of the hill, it seemed. And I know we climbed many steps from one shop to another. But it was a real picturesque place because there were all vines and bushes and flowers planted all around these little shops. And as you went up the steps, there'd be big shrubbery and vines and things, and it was real pretty. So we had a lot of fun going through all the shops and seeing all the different things, and I guess we bought a few things there too. And I don't know, we spent about a couple hours there. About 3:30 then, we went back to the ferry and took the trip back to San Francisco again. It was about a 35-minute ride. Then we saw this new Hyatt apartment building, just a new one, very, very modern. So we went inside the lobby to see what it was like. It was a huge, big lobby, and there were pots of yellow chrysanthemums all around the lobby floor, all around the edge. And there was a glass elevator going up and down, all glass all around. On the outside was this huge monstrosity of an architectural nightmare, somebody's dream, I think. I don't know what it was supposed to represent. We never figured that out. But that was the plaza in front of the Hyatt apartment building. That night, Hank and Gary went to the Pittsburgh-San Francisco ball game at Candlestick Park. San Francisco won 5-2. The rest of us went to Hamburg Haven to eat. Duncan wanted to take us to a steakhouse or some nice place for Gail's birthday the next day, but she wanted to go to Hamburg Haven because they had such good hamburgers there. And they did. I had something unusual, I thought. I had a hamburger with a slice of pineapple, broiled pineapple on top of the hamburger, and it was real good. I didn't like that. And then we had ice cream and cake later, her birthday cake, and gave her some gifts. Dunk had gone out and bought her a colander and a salad set because the fork and spoon. She didn't have any when we were having spaghetti and salad the night before. And Betty also went out and bought her a colander and a salad set, fork and spoon, so she had 2 alike. So we had quite a laugh over that, duplicate gifts from her mother and dad. Next day, the 14th, was Gail's 26th birthday. We hated to leave her then, but it was time for us to leave, and we left about 8 o'clock in the morning, took Highway 1. We drove for a while, and then we stopped at Pinky's Restaurant for breakfast, and it was raining a little bit by then. After that, we went through Santa Cruz, Davenport Landing, Moss Landing, and the temperature was 63 degrees there. We saw many artichoke gardens. Castroville had a sign, Artichoke Center of the World. And on to Marino, Fort Ord, and into Monterey. Carmel, Pebble Beach, Little Sur River. And at 11:30, we came into Pfeiffer, Big Sur State Park. La Padre Forest, and it was very foggy there. We saw a long-haired young man standing by the road holding a sign which said, any spare food? Well, we didn't have any food with us, so we didn't stop. We also saw a couple bicyclers on the La Padre National Forest Highway, and we wondered, we thought they must be pretty good peddlers to ride bicycles up and down those hills. After we came down out of the park, it seemed there was a lot of flat land, and we saw many white-faced cattle. And we arrived at Hearst Castle about 1:30. But we had to wait till 4 o'clock for a tour. They were so busy and filled up with, they took a busload every 15 minutes or so, I guess. But there were three different tours that you could take, and we decided on one certain tour. And so we waited till 4 o'clock, and then we went on the tour, went up the long road that took us up over the Hearst Castles way up high on the hill. And the tour took us about 2 hours then after we got there. And just takes about 15 minutes on the bus to get there. But it was a fabulous place, and we saw many interesting things, but I think the thing that struck us most was this elaborate dining room with the silver and pewter and all the elegant things that a mansion would have. And in the middle of the dining room table was a jar of mustard and a jar of ketchup sitting there, which seemed quite out of place. I guess I didn't mention that when we got off the bus, and we had 150 steps to climb to get up to the entrance. And then the tour, they told us, was a half mile. There were very nice young people that were giving the tours and made it very interesting for us. So on to Morro Bay, where we stayed that night. There were 31 motels in the town, but it seemed we got the last available motel room in the place. It was a Bayview Motel. We ate at quite a high-class restaurant, Breakers Cafe, they called it, and I made a notation, $20. Our meal must have cost $20, so that we couldn't have stayed there too many nights, I guess. Of course, Betty and I toured the gift shop and bought a couple things. Then the next day was the 15th. We had breakfast at the Breakers Coffee Shop at 7:30 and left at 8:15 on Route 41. The fields were quite brown through there, except where there was irrigation. Some would be irrigated and some not, and there's quite a difference. Some of the towns are smaller towns that we went through, Chelaine, Kellerman City, Stratford, Hanford, and then at Visalia we saw a fruit stand, and that was around 11:15 in the morning. We stopped and got a big basket of fruit, oranges, old peaches, plums, lots of good things we got a pretty big basket for $1.25. There were many fruit trees through that section. And we were on Route 198 then. We passed the Kaweah River and into Sequoia Park. I got a senior citizen permit there, which was to allow me to get into any of the state parks free. We went up into the park to amphitheater point. And the trees were just breathtaking. They were so large, we couldn't believe it. We felt like midgets standing beside them. But it was a beautiful place up there, and many interesting trees to look at. We ate lunch at the Lodgepole number 3 restaurant, an elevation of 6,000 feet. We left there about 2:30. Betty said she saw a deer, but none of the rest of us did. We went through Kings Canyon Park, and we were out of there by 3:45. We were down to 6,000 feet by then, and there were many groves of young fruit trees there. We weren't sure if they were fig trees or orange trees. Then we went through Minkler, Centerville, lots of vineyards along there. We arrived in Fresno about 4:30. We saw the Del Monte Raisin Building and went on to Merced, Turlock, to Sacramento. Arrived there about 8 p.m. And we ate at Sambo's. And that was on Route 80E. We saw a restaurant with a sign, The Ground Cow, which amused us. We arrived in Reno about 10:45. That had been quite a trip that day, and it was a long day. And we got a motel there near all the chapels, where the many chapels they had there for a quick marriage. There were at least 10 in the vicinity. We took a walk down the street and counted at least 10 right around there. So it wouldn't be hard to get married there in a hurry. I think most of them stayed open all night, too, but we didn't see any rushing business. Next day was the 16th, and it was quite warm that day. We were up at 7 o'clock. We had breakfast at the Gold and Silver restaurant and left about 8:45 on Route 80E to Lovelock. I drove about 70 miles. We had a real quick rain shower. It lasted 5 minutes. On to Winnemucca on Route 40 and 80 to Algonda Summit, elevation 5445. We noticed the difference in the roads from the day before, that along this route, there were very straight roads, and you could see for miles ahead. There were blue mountains and white clouds made a lovely scene. We stopped for lunch at Battle Mountain, Nevada, and we shopped for cards and stamps and turquoise. We're always looking for turquoise for Annie, and we saw huge hunks of unpolished gems, but didn't find any turquoise comb for Annie. But they did have different gem stores there. And at 1:45, we hit the road again to Elko, and we followed a truck there with a sign on the back that said, "Follow me." I don't remember how far we followed it, but I don't know what he meant, where he was going. We came into Wells about 3:45, and that was a real western town. Next was Casino, about 5 o'clock. We entered Utah and the Salt Lake Flats. This is where car races are held. And when we came upon it, when we first saw it, it looked like snow. We wondered if it had snowed there. It was just the salt. We stopped there, took some pictures, and I picked up a few little chunks of salt and brought home. On to Salt Lake City. We got there all around 6 o'clock and found a Sambo's where we could eat. And then we called the Grovers from there. And so we arrived at Jack and Barbara's about 9:30. We had a nice visit with them. Danny was home, and a girl from Nova Scotia was living there. And we met them. I think we're very near the end of this tape, so I'll continue on tape number 2 with their Saga of the West.